Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Friday, very warm and humid. Times of clouds and sun, a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. Friday's high, 86. Find more news all the time online at WKOK.com. It's back to The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our phone line at 1-800-795-9565 is powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. All right, it's you and me now for the next 53 and a half minutes, and I'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. Let's get everybody up to date. Hottest team in baseball, no doubt, the Yankees. Finally had their 10-game winning streak cooled last night. They have taken complete advantage of interleague play. But the Braves are on the verge of taking two out of three. The Braves just put a three spot up in the eighth inning and lead the Yankees 9-5 in a game that has featured nine home runs. Five by the Braves and four by the Yankees. Jason Hayward, by the way, homered to right in that one. But it's 9-5 Braves, that game in the bottom half of the eighth inning at the stadium in the Bronx. Also this afternoon, the majors, Kansas City leads Houston 2-1. That's in the top of the eighth inning at Minute Maid Park. Miller Park, where Toronto leads Milwaukee. Check that. Milwaukee leads Toronto 6-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning. End of two, Arizona leads Seattle 2-0. Phillies and Rockies tonight. And the Twins at PNC to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. So that is the story there. Tomorrow we'll talk about the Pirates. We'll either have Tim Neverett or Greg Brown. They're the two lead broadcasters for the Pirates. In all likely, we'll get one of the two tomorrow. And we'll find out which, as soon as the Pirates let us know. But we'll get one of the two coming up tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that. Because the Pirates have played very well. And a chance for the fans in our area. There are some Pirate fans in our area, not just Phillies and Yankees fans. There's certainly an Orioles. Sarah, I didn't want to leave you out. I didn't want to leave Sarah Bartlett out, the Oriole fan extraordinaire. But we have a lot of Phillies and Yankees fans in the area. We've talked a lot about the Phillies. We probably need to talk more about the Yankees, to be honest about it, because they've been the best team in baseball over the past 2.5 weeks. The Dodgers have been best overall from April 1st. But the Yankees in the past two and a half weeks have been the hottest team. Now, they're getting a little cooled off today by the Braves after the Braves won last night. But the Pirates have played great. They have surprised people, and the Pirates are a team, in all honesty, they are built differently than the Phillies are. They are built with very good starting pitching. They have a great closer, just like the Phillies do. Jonathan Papelbon is a great and established closer. Papelbon has three World Series saves. That puts you among the elite when you do that. But Joel Hanrahan has had two outstanding seasons as the closer for the Pirates. And where the Pirates are certainly much better than the Phillies would be the guys that we've talked about several times on the show, the bridge guys, the guys that get you through the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning. The Pirates guys in that spot have been just plain better than the Phillies pitchers in that spot. The Phillies would be a dramatically different team record-wise if they had received the performances that the Pirates have in that spot. What keeps the Pirates from being a team that would own the division is their lack of offense. And when we talk to either Tim Neverett or Greg Brown tomorrow, we'll talk about that. They've had some timely hitting. Andrew McCutchen is a great player. He is a great player. There really isn't anybody, for example, on the Phillies. There's nobody in the Phillies better than Andrew McCutchen. There's nobody better than Andrew McCutchen on the Phillies. Pedro Alvarez may not be a great player and probably will never be a great player, but he gives them power, and he can be a very good power source and power hitter for the Pirates. And Neil Walker, while not being a great player, is still a good major league player. It's a good major league player. The Pirates just don't have it at the other five spots. The Pirates have, you know, really don't have a lot at first base. Rob Barajas has delivered a few times for them behind the plate, but most teams would look at him as a backup catcher and not their primary guy. Alex Presley and Jose Tabata in left and right, respectively, are a couple of guys that would probably be fourth and fifth outfielders on most teams. Yet in Pittsburgh, they have to be starters and primetime guys. Now, Josh Harrison's done well for them. And Clint Barmas at shortstop, to borrow a Kevin Hurism. Really? I know Clint Hurdle loved him in his time in Colorado, but there will be nobody breaking down the Pirates' door on July 31st saying, we want Barmas, we want Barajas, we want Garrett Jones, we want Alex Presley, we want Jose Tabata. There'll be no interest in them at all. None. McCutchen is a great player. He's not a good player. He is a great player. Five-tool guy. Walker, the second baseman, good. Good player. And Alvarez at least can generate some power. The Pirates usually are not helped in interleague play because the DH is actually employed when they go to an American League park. When they play in an American League park, they struggle because they don't fill the DH role well enough to give them an advantage with it. They don't have enough hitting. And that's why the Pirates, while being a marvelous story so far this season, you question the staying power for the summer because of the lack of offense. Their pitching has staying power, and right now they're four games over. They're 35-31. If they were in the Eastern Division, and so they're in second place in the Central, if they were in the Eastern Division, they'd be 3.5 back tied with the Braves. Not bad. Not bad. And they're in a series with Minnesota that they have the capability of sweeping. Eric Bedard goes tonight. McDonald goes tomorrow. But it's the lack of offense, and the killer's been the on-base percentage. The on-base percentage has actually gone up. At one point, it was 268. Now it's at 285. That's dead last in the majors. Dead last. And when you look at a 285 on-base percentage, you would feel great if you had an off-the-chart. You'd feel incredible if your team batting average was 285. Their team batting average is 230. And their on-base percentage is 285. They're just not getting it done there. Slugging percentage, 372, 28th in baseball. And run scored, 229, next to last. But then you look at the pitching numbers. Fifth in the majors in ERA, 3.48. Team batting average against Pirates pitchers, 246. Quality starts, who cares? Their bullpen's good. So they're 23rd in quality starts. And their whip overall is 13th, a little bit better than average. But they're ninth in batting average, only 246 against them, and they're fifth in the majors in ERA. And that's the difference. That's what they bring to the table, and we'll talk to either Greg Brown or Tim Nevert tomorrow about that. McCutchen having a great year, 332. He's at 12 home runs, driven in 39. Not bad. Metro Walker's a good player, 268, four homers, 28 knocked in. Not bad. And Alvarez has 12 home runs after a big weekend in Cleveland, but he's only hitting 214. But after that, Tabata 228, Presley 224. You know, I mean, this is what they have. Barmas 200. when the pitching goes south, and that's what you worry about, they may not have enough hitting to compensate for it. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, to jump in on the conversation and talk with us. So that's tomorrow's show. We'll talk about the Pirates in tomorrow's show. The Phillies? Well, the Phillies, meanwhile, they find themselves obviously in a little world of hurt right now. They're 8 games off the pace. Washington's helped out because Washington has been in a tailspin. They've lost 4 consecutive games. The Phillies were able to win last night, pick up a game. They're now 8 out. So that's where they sit. And I believe they're 5 out in the wild card. That's actually worse. The Giants would be the wild card team right now. Giants would be the wild card team. So Charlie Fisher's thrilled, the Penn State quarterback's coach. He's the biggest San Francisco Giants fan I've ever seen in my life. And we're going to have Charlie on the show next week, by the way. Just a quick note for you. The Phillies would be, they're 32-37, 6. They're 5.5 out of the wild card. So they're not that far out. It's just the number of teams in front of them. That makes a big difference. And for the Phillies, it's the same old broken record. They can hit when nobody's on base. They're 5th in the majors in batting average, .267, but they're only 13th in slugging percentage. See, they're middle of the road in slugging percentage and the middle of the road in runs, even though they're 5th in batting average. They're 13th in runs scored. The Phillies pitching, quality starts, you would expect. A staff that has Lee before he went on the DL, Halliday. Blanton's given them some good starts. Kendrick gave them one. Vance Worley early gave them some good starts. And Hamels is good almost every time out. So they're 5th in the league in quality starts, but they're only 14th in ERA. Only 14th in ERA. Right in the middle at 3.96. And they're 21st in terms of team batting average against their pitching staff. 21st. It's crushing. The hottest team in baseball, and that's been the Yankees. The Yankees being cooled off a little bit right now. The Braves won last night. But let's look at what the Yankees have done. And when the Yankees get going, that means the offense is rolling. All right, that's what the Yankees' hallmark is, all right, is offense. Now, this team may be 10th in batting average. 10th. In the entire majors, 10th, .261. But where it counts. All right? Remember I told you what the Pirates on-base percentage was? Yankees on-base percentage is .336, 4th. Walks, hits, they get people on base. They're 4th, .336. You want to drive them in? How about 2nd in the majors in slugging percentage? .450. Runs scored? Plenty of those. There's 6, 318 of them. Now, to the credit of the Yankees, with Mariano Rivera out, with Robertson out, they haven't done a bad job with the pitching. They're 9th in overall ERA, 3.62. But they're only 18th in quality starts, so they've had to rely a lot on their bullpen. Their batting average against them is 18th as well, .254. But you can see that on-base percentage high, slugging percentage high, runs scored high. That's where they get teams. Now let's take a look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers have the best record in baseball. For one thing, the schedule has been incredibly favorable to the Dodgers more than any other team in the majors. They've only played, I believe they only played the 3 games in Philadelphia in the Eastern time zone. Even last night, you know, they played Oakland last night. I mean, Oakland. And you look at what they've done. Let me see here. Let's take a look at the Dodgers' schedule. Because I think this is, okay, they play at San Diego, then Pittsburgh at home. Then they get San Diego, Milwaukee, Houston, Atlanta, Washington. Those games with Washington were all at home. They go to Colorado, Mountain Time Zone. Cubs, Central Time Zone. Let's see. San Francisco, Colorado, Arizona, San Diego, St. Louis, Central Time Zone. Arizona, Houston, Milwaukee, those are all central time zones. Colorado, then they got the games they played in Philadelphia, okay, where they took all 4 games. And that's it. Because after that, they went to Seattle. Then, of course, they had the Angels at home. Then the White Sox at home. And now they're at Oakland. Then they have the Angels, the Giants. And then they have the Mets at home. And then they have the Reds at home. So they go to the 4th of July. Now, okay, this is how deep we are. We're up to July 8th. They go to Arizona. July 8th, four games in the Eastern time zone. The last time I checked, there are a lot of teams in the Eastern time zone. They haven't played any of them yet. You want to talk about an organization that was handed a schedule. They were handed a schedule. In the first half of the season, four games in the Eastern time zone. Now, admittedly, they won all four. San Diego, Philadelphia at home. Then finally, July 20th, they play three at the Mets. Then they go back to the Central time zone. Then they play at Miami in August, then at Pittsburgh, then at Atlanta. They finally have a road trip where they have to play the 10-game road trip from August 10th through August 19th. 10 games, 10 days, all in the Eastern time zone on the road. Now you're saying, what's significant about that? Why is such a big deal? Why are you making a big deal out of that? Well, you have to remember, if you play a 1 o'clock game on a Saturday in the East Coast, your body's clock's at 10 o'clock.
Oh.
And they have been able to build this record. It is remarkable, the schedule they've been handed. They go to July 20th, okay, from the start of the season, April 1st, to July 20th, and play four games in the Eastern time zone. And the Phillies have already gone to the coast. The Pirates have already gone to the coast with their West Coast swings. You know, they both had to fight from behind early because they had to play games on the coast so early. The Dodgers haven't had to do anything like that coming east. They just haven't. The Dodgers get people on base. They're second in on-base percentage at .337. The batting average is .262. Run scored 17th, slugging percentage 23rd, right? But then you get to pitching-wise, and the Dodgers certainly have had the pitching this year. Second in ERA, 3.13, fifth in quality starts, fourth in whip, and second in batting average, only .229. Their pitching has been exemplary. 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. And, of course, we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Hey, it's almost time for the 4th of July, so hurry to Kohl's for your summer celebration. Get your flag and pole set. Was $27.99, now just $19.99. Kohl's can light up your backyard with solar pathway lights, $2.99 each, or 6-foot torches in copper or black, were $14.99, now just $9.99.
Some like it hot, but not me. I'm going to Kohl's for a 5,000 BTU air conditioner, now just $99. And Kohl's has what you need for what bugs you, too, like a citronella fuel torch, just $6.99, or wasp and hornet spray, 2 for $5.
Lighten up and have some fun with games like beanbag toss and ladder ball toss. We're $24.99 on sale for the holiday for just $19.99.
Happy 4th of July. Get your supplies for pool and patio now on sale at Kohl's Hardware.
Don't forget to fly the colors.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Now, Kohl's is more than just your neighborhood hardware store. Oh, we're still right around the corner with over 15,000 name brand products. But now, you also have great offers waiting for you online. Have you liked us on Facebook yet?
Have you been staring at that old cell phone wondering how much you could get for it? Of course you have. So visit eBay's very own and very popular InstantSale.com. eBay makes it easy to find out what your unwanted electronic gear and gadgets are worth. Sell them for that price right on the spot and turn them into cash. So whether you have a cell phone, iPad, game system, camera, laptop, or any one of more than 4,000 items you're no longer using, just answer a couple of quick questions and instantly get an offer price to sell your item. They'll even send you a free prepaid shipping label. Now, actual prices paid may vary based on whether the condition of the item matches the description you provided, but that's it. You could earn hundreds of dollars with eBay's Instant Sale. If your item isn't working, that's okay too. InstantSale.com will either offer you cash for broken electronics or properly recycle items without a cash value. It's a no-brainer. Turn your unwanted electronics into cash. No hassle, no waiting. See InstantSale.com for complete details. That's InstantSale.com.
We're with Todd Benner. I see let's go. For a reason I'm laughing is I got to get out of the way here. Let's go. We're moving cars, Todd, all over the place. Yeah. Where are we heading with these?
I guess the Seals Grove Roadshow is moving on in the Susquehanna Valley
Mall.
There
we go. We've got big happenings going on, the mega sale at the Susquehanna Valley Mall.
Yeah. We're taking everything that we got, Scott. I mean, this isn't going to be like a 20 or 30 car deal here. That's why this is like looks like Grand Central
we've
Station
got
here.
We've got traffic here, believe me. But we got it under control at Seals Grove Ford, and what a selection we're moving.
Yeah, we're moving everything, Scott. So, I mean, if you're looking for a new car, a new truck, new SUV, and anything on the pre-owned line. And Scott, we just got a bunch of pre-owned in Hondas, Mercedes-Benz. We got anything that you're
anything you're looking for.
You want to buy, and of course, you know what our theme is, Scott. Price makes a deal, so we know what that's all about. You got to get to the Susquehanna Valley Mall.
Get ready. It all happens tomorrow at the Susquehanna Valley Mall.
In today's digital world, you can't afford to be lagging behind on all the latest details. Hi, Kim Komando here. Join me for the Kim Komando Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, and you'll be in the know about everything digital. I'm here every Saturday from 10 till 1. It's just me, you, and the newest digital details every weekend. Be part of the largest nationally syndicated weekend show, the Kim Komando Show, Saturdays from 10 till 1, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Wild card leader right now would be the San Francisco Giants. You're probably asking, well, after Steve, you went through what the Dodgers have done in terms of how favorable their schedule is. The Giants are probably on the same timetable. No, they are not. The Giants have already played a bunch of games on the East Coast. And they still have a bunch more to go, too. I mean, yes, Pittsburgh went out, and Philadelphia went out there already. But they've already been to Citi Field to play the Mets. They've been to Great America Ballpark to play the Reds. They have already swung east to play at Miami in a three-game, four-game series. And they still, before the All-Star break, will play at Washington and then at Pittsburgh. They have already played several games in the Eastern time zone, and they still have more games before the All-Star break to play in the Eastern time zone against the Pirates and the Nationals. In fact, I know they're playing the Pirates July 6, 7, and 8 because Charlie Fisher, I told you, he's the biggest Giants fan I've ever met. Between Bill O'Brien and me, the two of us are working to get him some tickets to see the Giants out at Pittsburgh against the Pirates. But they're four and a half back to the wild card leader. We know Matt Cain threw the perfect game. Batting average not bad, sixth, but they're only 22nd in runs scored and 22nd in slugging percentage. It's their pitching. It's been great. The Giants are third in baseball in ERA, 3.43. They're seventh in quality starts. They're sixth in the batting average against them, 240, and they're eighth in the whip. Walks and hits versus inning pitch, they're eighth. I mean, their pitching has been exemplary. I mean, so far. I mean, that is what's carried them. They get a lot of hits. They just don't score a lot of runs. I mean, Buster Posey's having a good year. Melky Cabrera's not doing bad. Melky Cabrera, in fact, is having a great year for them. But it's their pitching that's been great. I mean, Matt Cain already has 9 wins. Ryan Vogelsong is a 2.229 ERA. And this is a team that, I mean, Tim Lincecum hasn't had a great year. I mean, you would expect that he would have a great year. Lincecum's ERA is 6.19. The team ERA is 3.43. I mean, if the ace of the staff could somehow get himself in a gear, they'd be incredibly dominant.
Real estate. OwenAgency.com. Buyers come to our website to start their hunt for housing, rentals, commercial property, and more. Coming or going, see an agent from Bowen, Lewisburg, Selinsgrove, Grove, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yes, the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And also at 1-800-795-9565, it's you and me for the next 25 minutes here on WKOK. Love to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565 on the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. Don't forget Bob Buhner, a guest tomorrow with Mark Lawrence on The Mark here on WKOK. Looking forward to that show and hearing from my good friend Bob as well. All right, the BCS, as I promised before, is Sarah's news at the bottom. Mike Sly of the Southeastern Conference wants to come away from the latest BCS meetings with his fellow commissioners ready to pitch a four-team playoff to the university presidents. The leaders of the 11 other major conferences, along with Notre Dame's athletic director, are back in Chicago today for another round of talks about creating two national semifinals that would then lead to a title game. This is the sixth formal meeting this year on the future of the Bowl Championship Series, and the second in Chicago in about a week, so thus they're getting closer. Sly said before the meeting, "I expect that we'll continue to make good progress on the four-team playoff. We'd like to get as far as we need to get to make it a comprehensive presentation to our presidents next week." Sly told reporters the commissioners do not need to complete every detail of the plan for the new postseason before they break on Thursday, echoing what Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney told reporters earlier. "My hope is that we come out of the meetings with a consensus on a 14 playoff model and what it looks like," Sly said. The BCS Presidential Oversight Committee meets in Washington next Tuesday, but Delaney said that too is unlikely to be the final stage in the process. Remember, Jim is very big on the process. He always has been. Some talk of a so-called plus one has crept back into the conversations about the future of college football's postseason since the April meetings in Florida, when for the first time the commissioners acknowledged that a four-team playoff was the way that they were headed. The plus one, though, is different from the current system in that the championship game matchup is set after all the major bowl games are played. But there are no formal semifinals, so it's not a 14 playoff, something that Slive has wanted for years. Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, and I'll be frank with you, the two power brokers in college sports are Jim Delaney, the Big Ten Commissioner, and Mike Slive, the SEC Commissioner. The other forward thinker of the group, and he has taken the Pac-12 from middle-of-the-road BCS conference to big-time player in the BCS, and that's Larry Scott. He is a man of great vision, and he has really been a plus for the Pac-12. Larry Scott mentioned in May that the plus one was still an option, and the Big Ten president said they preferred it over the playoff. Ultimately, though, it appears that that's just more posturing and positioning than anything else. The goal of these meetings is to work out the details of a playoff plan, where and when the games will be played, and how the teams will be selected. I favor using the bowl games to do it and a selection committee. Right? No more this computer. I mean, if you want to give the selection committee data, fine. You want to give the selection committee data, fine. But no more of this computer model junk. No more of this poll stuff. Selection committee, get it done. Now, there'll be polls every week. That's fine. And I don't mind that there are BCS standings every week. But I think ultimately a committee needs to sit down, look at data, but also the eyeball test to pick what they think of the four teams that should be playing in this thing. The commissioners have been focusing on ways to keep the major bowls involved as sites for the semifinals, either on a rotating basis or by linking conferences to bowls. There's also been a debate over how teams are selected, with Slive supporting a process that simply takes the four highest-ranked teams in the nation, regardless of conference, and others leaning toward emphasizing conference champions. Delaney said that he's for a hybrid that would allow a team that doesn't win its conference to make the playoffs, but could use league titles as a tiebreaker of sorts to separate closely ranked teams. Said, "I'm not so sure that the differences in our views are as significant as some people may have written," Slive said. All right. Conference champion thing. I think what happens is that conference championship games separate teams. Right now, you have, among the BCS conferences, four conference championship games: Pac-12, SEC, ACC, Big Ten. Big Ten going into its second. That's why when I talked in the opening hour about divisional play and Ohio State being ineligible to win the Big Ten championship this year, that it was incredibly significant for Penn State because that's one fewer team that, quote, you worry about until the week you play them. And Ohio State really plays the role of spoiler in this race. That's all they can do is play spoiler. Divisional play means everything. That's what I mentioned, a Michigan-Michigan State game. Unfortunately, and maybe fortunately, whatever your point of view happens to be, really doesn't have any bearing on Penn State, unless Penn State makes it to the title game and either Michigan or Michigan State's there. But in terms of regular season play, a Michigan-Michigan State game has no bearing on Penn State as a regular season game. So there are four conferences with conference champions. I think what they're trying to fight through logistically is the Alabama scenario, where Alabama didn't even win its division, yet they were allowed to go to the championship game automatically, and they won it without winning their division. Now, that is the equivalent in baseball of the wild card team winning the World Series. Cardinals were a wild card team. They won it. Red Sox, 2004 wild card. I think the Angels were a wild card when they won it. I think the Marlins were a wild card in 2003 when they won it. So wild card teams have won the World Series. The Packers, as a number six seed, won the Super Bowl. They weren't a division champ. They were the number six seed when they beat the Steelers to win the Super Bowl. The eighth-seeded L.A. Kings won the Stanley Cup. And the Miami Heat won their division, but they were the two-seed, so it's logical that they're in the spot they're in right now. The Giants were a divisional champion. The Patriots were a divisional champion. But a year ago, when the Packers won it, they were the sixth seed. When the Kings won the Stanley Cup this year, they were the eighth in the West. And the Cardinals were a wild card team last year. So, that's how it played out. And out title last year, but not and didn't have to play the extra game. I think that's what bothers some people, is that that's what they're trying to overcome in this argument. They're trying to overcome the argument that a team that did not have to play the extra game, take the extra step, clear the extra hurdle, won the national championship. And that's happened before. But the ACC, SEC, Pac-12, Big Ten have championship games. Now, do you sit there and say, well, we're going to take the three highest-ranked conference champions and then have the fourth be a wild card? Or do you just say, here we go, we're going to take what we perceive as a committee to be the four best teams and seed them one through four? That opens the possibility, for example, the three SEC teams getting in. Last year, fans may forget, but LSU went into the BCS 1, Alabama was 2, Arkansas was 5. And by the way, in the BCS last year, you had to go, if you were going to take the top four conference champions that won their conference championship game or their regular season title in the conference that didn't have a playoff, Big 12 and Big East are the two that fall into that category. If you just took conference champions, you would have had LSU, Oklahoma State, Oregon, and Wisconsin would have been the four. Remember, Stanford was not a conference champion. Stanford didn't even win its division. You say, what about Boise State? Boise State didn't win the Mountain West. TCU did. Boise State was seventh. Arkansas was fifth. They didn't win the division either. Last year. In the final PCS standings, if you just took conference champions, just conference standings, in the final BCS rankings, and it had to be a conference champ. That's there. Let me find the BCS here. It's not just poll. Let's see. Rankings postseason. Let's see. Well, I might as well just find BCS standings here. Let's do that. I want to make sure I'm correct in what I'm saying, but I can tell you right now Stanford wasn't, because obviously Oregon played UCLA in the Pac-12 championship game. We just talked about that previous hours. Let's see. BCS standings, week 15. Let's go with that. December 4th. This will be it. LSU. It would have been LSU number one. Third-ranked Oklahoma State. Fifth-ranked Oregon. And 10th-ranked Wisconsin. Those are the top four conference champions. You have to go to number 10 to get the fourth one. Alabama didn't win its division. Stanford didn't win its division. Arkansas didn't win its division. Boise State did not win its conference. Kansas State didn't win its conference. South Carolina was beaten by LSU in the championship game. So, Kansas State finished second last year in the Big 12. They were 7-2. Oklahoma State won it. They were 8-1. And that one loss at Iowa State, if I recall. But if you just went with conference champions, that's how far down you'd have to go to get all your conference champions. One LSU, three Oklahoma State, five Oregon, 10 Wisconsin. Again, Alabama didn't win its division. Stanford, number four, didn't win its division. Arkansas, number six, didn't win its division. Boise State, seven, didn't win its conference. Kansas State finished second in its conference. South Carolina lost in the title game to LSU. Then you get to Wisconsin. So that's what they're debating over as to how this works. If this works the way that I think you just go out and you pick the four best teams regardless of conference champion. And if you're doing that, it would have been LSU, Alabama, Oklahoma State, and Oregon. I mean, in Stanford, I mean. Let's see, Stanford. Stanford last year, let's see. They went 8-1, right? So they go 8-1 last year. Let's see. Schedule stats. All right, let's do it. I just want to check one thing. They only lost one game all year. And let's see here. And the game they lost last year was to Oregon, ironically. And, of course, they lost to Oklahoma State in the bowl game. They lost to Oregon 53-30. Man, they got crushed. Wow. Maybe the wrong team went. But, I mean, stuff like that. For example, if I'm sitting there on the selection committee and I'm looking at Stanford ranked fourth and I see Oregon ranked fifth, I'm picking Oregon. Why? Two factors. First and foremost, they beat Stanford head-to-head. Number two, they won their conference. That would sway me. So I would have picked LSU, Alabama, Oklahoma State, and Oregon would have been my four picks in the selection committee room. And what would have swayed me with Oregon over Stanford, even though Stanford is a significant number four over Oregon. Their BCS average was 0.847. Oregon's was 0.790. That's a wide gap. I still think head-to-head means something. Oregon proved they could beat Stanford, and they didn't do it on a fluke. They won it 53-30. They crushed them. They won 53-30. I know Oregon ended up, I think Oregon had more losses, I think, in the regular season. I think they, didn't they lose twice in the regular season? And I think they lost to LSU early. Didn't they lose the LSU, I think, in the, they lost to LSU in that game at Cowboys Stadium, I want to say. And I think they lost to USC too, didn't they, along the way? I believe they did. And that's where the discrepancy comes in. But when you're 4-5 in the poll like that, you know, they lost the opener to LSU 40-27. They lost at home to USC 38-35. That's why they ended up 12-2. But they beat Stanford 53-30, head-to-head. And I think, you know, again, I think head-to-head means something. I think you've proven head-to-head you're better. But that's what they're looking at. I would rather see a selection committee pick the four best teams as they perceive it. They can have all the data in front of them they want, and then use the bowl system, rotate it, add a fifth bowl game as a major. That would be the Cotton Bowl. And thus, you take in rotation. One year you make the Orange and Sugar the semifinals, the Rose Bowl the final. Then you make the Cotton Bowl and Fiesta Bowl, or the, you know, or the Cotton Bowl and the Rose Bowl the semifinal, and you make the final be. Or else you do it this way. Yeah, you pick two of them every year, and then you pick a site that hosts the national championship game, and you put it out to bid. If it turns out to be Glendale, great. If it turns out to be Cowboy Stadium, great. If it turns out to be Georgia Dome, great. If it turns out to be Ford Field, great. But I think you put the championship game out for bid. And then you use the Fiesta, Rose, Sugar, Orange Bowls and rotate, and maybe even include the Cotton Bowl if the Rose Bowl doesn't want to be a part of that mix, since Cowboy Stadium is such an incredible venue. And the Cotton Bowl had been a major before this. And you rotate between those games as to what the semifinals are every year, thus giving them greater significance, importance, and more eyeballs. And then you bid out the championship game. That's how I'd do it. All right, 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar at lenapesolar.com. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show from the Sunbury Motor Studio on WKOK after this.
100 years in the making.
Finally, a showdown of a lifetime. It's Ford against Chevy.
In the right corner, Sealands Grove Ford.
And in the left corner, the new Paul Stein Chevrolet.
The place is Mega Sale 2012 at the Susquehanna Valley Mall, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
This is your chance to come on down and vote on your favorite models, and you can win a free gas grill.
With Front Street Motors present, you have three dealerships that are competing for your business. Over 400 cars to choose from. Don't miss the Mega Sale 2012
at the Susquehanna Valley Mall.
Integrated Financial Concepts will be representing five different financial institutions, giving you on-the-spot financing.
The battle between the big boys, Ford against Chevy, being held at the JCPenney parking lot at the Susquehanna Valley Mall, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Be there.
Immix Wireless introduces OneFone, a revolutionary new service that uses Wi-Fi by default or cellular network when Wi-Fi is not available for voice, text, and data. Get superior coverage in building on Wi-Fi and seamlessly transfer back to cellular network when leaving a Wi-Fi area. Sign up today for only $49.99 a month and get unlimited talk, text, and data. Stop by a local retail location today. Visit www.immix.com or call 888-249-8030 for complete details.
No mowing, no snow removal, no worries. That's what you'll find at Oakwood Grove on Mill Road, just past the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. It's maintenance-free living in these well-designed townhouses that are affordably priced and close to grocery stores and shops. See how Oakwood Grove's one- and two-story townhouses will make you feel at home. The next phase is just beginning, so don't wait to start the next chapter in your life. Be worry-free and in your new place in no time. Oakwood Grove, where life is beautiful, on Mill Road, just past the Susquehanna Valley Country Club.
If a bone or joint problem is keeping you down, then it's time to get up with the Sun. The Sun Orthopedic Group, that is. Our team of specialists can help ease your pain and get you up and moving again. So come on, get going. Get up with the Sun. Call Sun Orthopedic at 800-598-5096 or visit sunortho.com.
Hi, this is Art Bone of Bone Agency. Bingo players, listen to this special invitation for bingo to be held on Tuesday, July 3rd at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Play 20 games for $20, 9 games per card, all cash prizes. Bingo players on Tuesday are invited to the fireworks on Wednesday. Call 743-1714 or email office at svccgolf.com to register. Play bingo and see the fireworks. Hope to see you there at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club.
Get all the latest information from your favorite news station, News Radio 1070 WKOK, with our Text Connect. You can sign up for free weather, school delays, early dismissals, traffic alerts, and more, all before you even leave the house or work. You'll get it all in real time, right to your phone. You'll also stay informed on all the station's events. To sign up, visit WKOK.com, scroll down to Connect, and follow the directions. Make sure your cell phone is powered on and you have an active signal. That's it. Text Connect is another way to stay informed with News Radio 1070. WKOK.
Kyle doing the moonwalk as we go through this sequence here. Check out Kyle moves, man. Or if we had webcams, you'd be getting a show. Kevin Herr returns tomorrow. Do we miss him? I'm just doing a quick poll here. Yes, I missed him. There's a lot of audience love for the big fellow. Yeah. Went to Rehoboth, displaced a lot of water, and now he's coming back. Looking forward to having him back tomorrow. And tomorrow on the show, we'll have either Greg Brown or Tim Neppert. There'll be one of the two tomorrow. And we're working on next week sit-downs with Dave Joyner, the acting athletic director at Penn State, and starting quarterback Matt McGloin. Or next week's show. Have to keep it moving, keep it fresh. I think we've been doing that. Kyle's done a great job over the last few days of literally carrying me and the show. I've enjoyed it very much. We enjoyed being out at the ballpark yesterday. A good friend of mine was driving from Harrisburg International Airport back to State College yesterday, listening to the show on WKOK. Day at the ballpark. We had fun with that. I think the next time we'll do something like that, maybe on Football Media Day, or take the show out on the road like that. Well, we had a lot of fun with it yesterday. And we're looking forward to the next time we take her out on the road. A lot of guests. And we've had fun with all the guests that we've had on. We'll try to give you a wide variety. By the way, we talked about Doc Emmerich. We're going to get Doc Emmerich, I think, in September. I think it was I think September 10th was the date we targeted. That Monday to get Doc Emmerich on the show from NBC. He says he's more than happy to do it, so we'll get him on then. Yes, we're planning that far in advance. Need to. We get into that football season. Jack Ham will be on a weekly basis. We're looking forward to it.